What are you doing?
Stacking sets.
Hi y'all, welcome to Windchill Time. It's Day and Airy. It is Wednesday, July 15th. And this is technically season 2, episode 35, also COVID-19 pandemic show number 17. And this is show number 97 in total. I've done a few little projects here and there along the journey. Done many, many, many wonderful different production experiments, but we've gotten to here, show number 97. Over the course of a year.
At 100.
Yeah. Right. So I'm Luggage Donkey on Twitter. Again, if you ever want to come and attack me, verbally attack me, or maybe with images attack me, then that's where you do it. Luggage Donkey on Twitter.
And I'm Airy in Seattle.
So this is originally a podcast, still a podcast, but we are doing basically a simultaneous production of audio and video so that we can fill our branded YouTube channel with content there.
And video is all the rage.
Yeah, it's a totally different experience. And it just so happens that, you know, doing almost a year of production in the podcast greatly gave us a lot of practice in being able to do a one-shot, you know, deal with video straight on through with the entire, you know, production notes and everything. So it's a very interesting progression.
It is slightly unnerving though. Like, recording a podcast was a little weird because you're like, who am I supposed to be looking at? Who are we talking to? And then the video's like...
looking at you. All right, so we do have a musical feature, and it's going to be near the end of the show. Not sure where I'm going to place it, but we have a friend, Tommy, and he's been in a band for a long time on and off, and he had his two boys do a Father's Day song, an original Father's Day song, and so he was kind enough to allow us to share it on here, so I'll have it edited somewhere in this show, and it's audio too, of course, so it works with audio and video.
So not the screaming guy.
No, we're done using that one. How are you doing?
I'm tired. It's been a really, really intense week since Sunday. So yeah, like intense. I mean, especially for me, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday have been intense, long days, not my typical amount of sleep, just intense.
And I'm going to bed right after this too, because I already got my other stock stuff charting and reading the daily report from Investors Business Daily, getting all that done. So I'm basically going to bed right after this because I'm pretty exhausted as well.
Exhausted.
Yeah. It's about 11... It's about 11:12 p.m. on Wednesday night, you know, July 15th, like I said. So again, another, you know, nights and weekends, kind of a side hobby of ours that we're entertaining. Trying to entertain, too.
Trying to entertain and be consistent and follow through on our commitments, even though it's really hard. That's all I can say. I feel like my breath stinks. Anyway.
All right. So that segues into actually going back to the roots. I started thinking about why we started the podcast, and maybe the last few shows here and there have kind of diverged away from the original goal, and it was to, for two main reasons. What was the first one?
To be fun formational.
I think that's in there, but what I was thinking was that the space is just so open with open source software, which is what Bitcoin is, and then transparency and you know, all of the many qualities about how open the space is, that we wanted to have a seat at the table, so to speak, and show up. And that was part of creating the podcast. And now, you know, again, we have evolved into doing a full-on video production. My original camera that I was using the battery basically died, and so I'm having to use a backup camera right now.
Yeah, well, I think we also have very strong opinions and perspectives. And we've done a lot of research and time in the space, you know, tech and Bitcoin and crypto and finance and all sorts of stuff. So thought it would be nice to share and take other people on the journey that we've been in. And then the other goal, right, Day, was to try and figure out a way to make all of this experience and knowledge.
I'm sorry.
That we've collected over the years, accessible to people. Like people that don't have all this nerdy time to read and study and like work in tech and all that stuff. Make it accessible to people that are like teachers and doctors and, you know, police officers.
Anybody.
And, yeah, people. Like people that want to learn and want to see what other people are working on. Wanted to make it accessible to people and, you know, we've gotten feedback that we're like still going too fast and like
too much jargon.
Yeah, a lot of jargon, jumping over, making people do mind leaps. So we're trying to slow down, but like you have to keep giving us feedback, and we'll try and still make it informational and fun for everybody. So, you know, we're doing our best.
An on-ramp, and shout out to Matt Case because, you know, I got the awesome favor of him reading our disclosures, disclaimers, which follows every show. And much, much thanks to him for doing that.
He does it in a Matthew McConaughey voice, right? It's so...
But yeah, we were supposed to give away that.
What?
I wanted people to figure that out on their own. But it's okay. It's all right. Yeah. So yeah, fun and informational, and then an on-ramp for non-technical folks and trying to give non-technical information and make it, you know, talking about money, because money pervades every part of just about every transaction that we do in the world.
Food,
and,
time.
You know, a lot of times, what I found is a lot of people actually don't understand money, and when you combine technology, which is everywhere, yet people don't understand most of technology, how things actually work, and then combine money, which is something that people think they understand how it works and what it is, but actually don't when you take the, you know, proverbial red pill or orange pill in the case of Bitcoin, and then you know, you combine that all together and it becomes a big awakening. Is that it? Okay, awesome. So jump into Satoshi Math. Right now, we are sitting at $9,200 per Bitcoin.
Hold and steady. It's good.
Yeah.
Good store of value.
We are... It's the joke is that when Bitcoin becomes really boring like this, it becomes like a stable coin. And so we've been bouncing around between 9,000 and 10,000 for a pretty long while now. And it doesn't match up with the historic volatility that we typically display, or that Bitcoin typically displays.
I don't know, what was it, like a year and a half ago? I was at like 3,000, so it's pretty good, right? Like,
well,
the last number I checked. And then like when the Bitcoin baby, when Kimo was born, it was at like 5,500 or something.
Oh yeah, I remember? Lost track of that benchmark. Yeah,
yeah, and we just passed his, you know, 1 year birthday. We're pretty good. Bitcoin's doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's doing just fine. Yes, exactly.
So like we do this thing called Satoshi math, and to figure out the number of Satoshis in $1 of Bitcoin, and remember Satoshis are to Bitcoin are what cents are to dollars. So you have 100 cents for every $1, and you have 100 million Satoshis for every one Bitcoin. So you take $1 divided by 0.00009200.
Yes.
And you get
10,000, approximately 10,900 sats per dirty US fiat dollar. And the reason why it's 0.00009200 is because of the 100 million sats per Bitcoin. It's 8 decimal places. It's a ridiculous number of, you know, decimal places.
People think the numbers for like calculating Bitcoin and Satoshis is complicated. It's seemingly complicated because of the whole like 100 million Satoshis in every one Bitcoin. But when you figure out the math, it's like, yeah, okay.
So if you do a search on hashtag Satoshi math And someday, one day, if we ever get a t-shirt printed, it'll have that on the back. And it's we are the front page hit on a search engine. So if you go to your favorite search engine, search on hashtag Satoshi Math, we're on the front page. Never had to pay a dime for that. It is a completely organic, unique digital real estate item that we have. So pretty happy about that. Okay, so I think that does it for Satoshi Math. Thank you to the WTIA for the continued sponsorship.
Yes, the Washington Technology Industry Association, representing over 1,100 technology companies in the Pacific Northwest, creating one collective voice when it comes to talking to policymakers, innovators, investors, and bringing us all together in a collective. Yeah.
And Ari is the chair of the and founding chair of the Blockchain Council. And so helping to bring together, you know, specific companies in this space to work together a little bit better. Oregon, Washington, and Vancouver, BC.
Yep.
Okay.
We're building a private-public partnership, working with policymakers and technologists right now too.
And just a one note on that Satoshi Math. I think that there's anything that you know, might be taken away from listeners, watchers, is if there's any one thing about Bitcoin that, you know, people might be able to take away through all the times that they've listened and watched, it's being able to do Satoshi Math would just make me really, really happy. If they just know that one fact that there's 100 million sats in every Bitcoin, I think that's, I'll take that any day.
High five.
All right, here. Okay, so we didn't give a teaser to the main topic, but it's actually a pretty big deal. Again, it's Twitter. So hashtag Twitter hack.
Huge hack.
Again, it just happened literally today, July 15th, Wednesday. And so there's a nice Forbes article where Corey Klipstein was quoted, and there was a number of very notable Twitter accounts, all with the verified Twitter checkmark, that were hacked. And do you want to give a description?
I actually scanned not just the Forbes article, but I scanned The Guardian, The Verge, New York Times, Washington Post, like all the major
all
outlets. Covered it. And so this is the full list of people that were hacked. Joe Biden, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Kanye West, who's no longer running for president apparently, Jeff Bezos, Apple, the company, Uber, the company, Barack Obama, Warren Buffett, Michael Bloomberg, Cameron Winklevoss, Tyler Winklevoss. Tyler and Cameron Winklevoss have a company called Gemini's, so that was hacked. Coinbase was hacked. Binance was hacked. CoinDesk was hacked.
Yeah. That is terrible. That is crazy. So I work, my day job is in internet security and internet infrastructure.
There's your hit list of customers.
Basically,
that need help.
Future customers. Yes. And so, you know, I've been seeing people speculate about what happened today. And I was kind of semi-joking, but kind of serious when I was saying that it was an inside job.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the security profile of all these different accounts is different for everyone. Some were using two-factor, some were not. Some were probably using SMS, some were not. Some were using third-party apps and tools to tweet, some were not. So the one commonality you want to find in a situation like this when you're troubleshooting is, or the one thing you want to find is a commonality. And the commonality is
Twitter.
So Twitter was likely hacked. You know, I don't know for sure, but my joke about it being an inside job is the fact that Twitter, you know, one kind of super user, it's called God Mode, account was likely hacked. And then that user profile, or, you know, God Mode profile, had access to all these accounts and was able to pull off this.
Your theory?
Yeah, exactly.
My theory is like, some support person or support team got involved. I mean, like, you know, remember, what's his name? Michael Turpin? His phone account got hacked and he got SIM swiped, where like the bad guys took his phone number and then they were able to use his phone number to hack into his email address, which they used to hack into his Coinbase account, I think. and they took like several million dollars or something, and then he got mad, and so he went turned around and started suing AT&T for even allowing the SIM swap. And the way they happened to do it was because someone got in contact with someone in support, and some support person got paid off to, like, you know, help them hack into Mr. Turpin's account. And so I'm wondering, well, maybe there's like a Twitter, you know, support level tier 2 was able to, like,
tier like 5 or 6 or 8, but yeah
that's my, do you want to talk about like what actually these hackster fraudsters talked about?
Yeah, I mean, that's important as well. They were asking people to send Bitcoin to a Bitcoin address, a wallet, and then the promise was that if you sent $1,000, you would get $2,000 back in return.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I guess when you use Bitcoin to do that or try to ask people to do that, then it's okay. But if you go up to anyone in the world and you tell them, you know, hey, if you give me $1,000, I'll give you $2,000 back in cash, that doesn't really make any sense.
No, but the people that were like, the accounts that were tweeting this, it's like, you know, Elon Musk, he was like, I'm feeling generous. It's been a good day. I'm going to like spend $50 million giving this thanks and just raining money on people. So if you send me $1,000, I'll send you 2 because I'm feeling generous. And people actually bought into it. I mean, a few people.
It wasn't, you know, apparently as of now, the reporting is that it wasn't millions of dollars that was stolen.
Like $100,000.
It was hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah. And so it is a serious deal. But I think that if you stop to, you know, put on your, you know, hat of skepticism and critical thinking, then maybe you would pause on doing this. There was another element to it that is pretty big in the hacker world, which is urgency.
Mm-hmm.
They said, you got to do this within 30 minutes. And so it really throws people off, I think, that urgency. So if you work in the cybersecurity space, a number of red flags were given off on, you know, how the tweets were looking, and the whole orchestration of it with all the accounts and everything. So you probably, you know, if you've had corporate, you know, internet security training, then you knew to hold off. But even I think people should have some spidey senses to say this is a little bit odd and not do that. But, you know, the general public probably wasn't affected by this. It was probably more, you know, new Bitcoin people who were, you know, very susceptible to this kind of situation, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think Vijay Boyapati like replied to one of the accounts and was like, this is not a crypto hack, this is a Bitcoin hack. The bad guys, they wanted Bitcoin, they didn't want random crypto.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah. Oh, so I do have some questions with respect to Bitcoin and, you know, money that I think you might find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about that. I think we're okay. Oh, there it is right there. All right. We'll go through really quick. Couple minutes left. We got, Bitcoin has never been hacked. True or false?
Well, no. How can it be hacked?
True, exactly. It has never been hacked. And so that's one very fine point of detail that I think people need to know through all this disaster, is that Bitcoin, the network, has actually never been hacked. And so you might say, well, what does that mean? That means no one has ever double spent Bitcoin on the Bitcoin network. It's never happened. And so do you think that there has been counterfeit U.S. dollars that have ever been printed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're doing it. I mean, it's easy to print money.
So you could say dirty fiat U.S. dollars have been hacked because people print counterfeit, you know, $100 bills all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Fun little fact, North Korea is actually a big counterfeiter of U.S. dollars. So, yeah, one of us might have North Korean ancestry by chance. Okay, so is it possible to bounce a check from a checking account?
Oh yeah.
So that you could say that is a hack.
You did it recently, remember? You told everyone about
it. I accidentally bounced a check last month. I didn't time.
Who uses checks anymore?
Yeah, what kind of idiot uses checks? It's so dumb. So
Gen Xer.
And then is it possible to fake gold? Is fake gold possible to produce?
Yeah, I mean, people have fake all sorts of metals and diamonds, and so you have to, like, look at it and feel it and bite it and see if it really is the real thing.
Exactly. So something to the tune of about $2 billion worth of fake gold has been manufactured in the world. And so, again, Bitcoin has never had these kind of issues. And so it's extremely unique. It's an extremely new asset class, and so people don't know how to deal with it. But you know, when you hear all the fear, uncertainty, and doubt, FUD about Bitcoin and how it's only used by criminals, it's probably the least used by criminals in the history of money.
It's all about the U.S. dollar.
Any other?
Just watch the Ozarks.
No, Ozark.
Ozark.
Ozark is the name of the show. They're in the Ozarks. But the oh God. There's our 20-minute timer. Okay, I think that's about it. Oh, swag. So I got the metal shirt on. I got it at the, I think, the Consensus in New York City in 2018 when I was doing a lot of, but he's been on a couple of shows recently and doing some PR stuff. And the founder.
Metal guy.
Good guy. Yeah. Girl Gone Crypto, Leah, she had an interview with him, and so it was, I learned a lot about him. And then I think I figured out what the fidget spinner here, the InfoBlox, my day job, fidget spinner is. It's not
a USB thing?
It's not a USB rescue recharger, it's a hub. Mm-hmm. It's gotta be a hub, that's the only thing I can figure out it could be. Yeah, you plug in micro on one side, and then you can, attach more devices to it or something like that. Yeah, so it's not a recharger. It's just a hub, I think. But I'm speculating. I still haven't tried it out.
Swag. Look, I don't understand what the swag does. It's cool. Yeah,
it spins really well. 4-year-old loves it. 4-year-old
so does the 1-year-old.
Yeah. All right. So again, stick around for the musical feature. Tommy and his boys doing a completely unique and custom Father's Day song. Really, really fun. And then shout out to Matt Case for reading the disclaimers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for spending your time with us. Hope you'll join us next week. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and share.
And be nice, y'all.
Together we rise.
Bye.
All right. Welcome to Windshield Time, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. This podcast is non-technical, fun, informative way to learn about money, Bitcoin, blockchains, crypto, and digital assets for busy parents and working folks who are curious about these new technologies. Day, Ari, and their guests talk about these evolutionary systems of money and what they do, y'all. Because what part of your life does money not touch? This podcast is not financial advice, and your reactions are your total and complete responsibility, y'all. Now, thanks again, and enjoy the show.
Father's Day, Abba.
All right, camera's out right now, okay? All right, audio's out now, okay? Camera's out, audio's out. All right. We're gonna back our camera because the battery died on the camera we normally use. So we got the timer down there. Close the door. Remember to project, please. All right, camera right, I don't know which one. This is the bottom or left camera. This is the right or top camera. I don't know which one it is that's recording. Audio, check. Okay, so let's sync up the audio and the video. Okay, three claps just to make sure, okay. Want to do it in less than 2 minutes. Looks like it's a little bit lopsided, but we'll just deal with it. Okay, ready?